Okay, the first one is Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Who's reading? Miss Jackie. Okay, remember, the Shema cannot be disturbed, and when you, it's the word Shema is the first word of the Shema, or Shema. It's hear, means to hear. To hear with understanding. Shema means that you're ready to place everything in the universe outside, and now you've entered into the covering of the Father, and you're hearing with understanding.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind the first sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the porch of thy house and on thy gates.
Deuteronomy 11, 13 to 21.
And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart, and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods, and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, and there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon thy doorposts of thine house, and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to give them, as the days of heaven upon thee.
Numbers 15, 37 through 41. In Deuteronomy, where it says in chapter 6, verse 6, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Now, that's fulfilled in Christ. It's like the structure, the grammatical structure of the sentence in the Hebrew does not leave any optionality. It's not you better learn these words that they can be in your heart. It's with regard to the sphere of influence, Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead in your heart. Therefore, he is the law. He has been raised in your heart. Now, even at this time, This Shema is a revelation of Christ. Not in some projected way. It's every time you read the Shema, you remember when you're reading in Hebrew and studying anything in Hebrew, it's as though it hasn't happened to you until you read it. And so it's a repetition, a confirmation every day that these words shall be in your heart. Then, as you say that, it's in your heart. You understand? Mm-hmm. All right.
When she was reading about sitting to teach them, your children speaking them in this in my house, and all that stuff, I was thinking about how that's, you can think that that's, you know, it's just you're like reading them out of the Bible, or you're talking, you know, it's not. It's everything. It's the prophecy. It's the...
Amen. Yeah, and again, and it's like here, for those of you who don't live on the block, you really, I mean, it's you miss something, because the thing that happens with the kids, I mean, this happens automatically. I mean, there's a thousand things, like every, I mean, it happens every day that something happens with the kids where I have to give them an object lesson of the mystery, you know, like, it's going to be fascinating to see how they end up, you know. Anyway, Genesis, we finished Genesis 5 through, well, we're going to read tonight Genesis 6, 9 through Genesis 7:24. Wow. That's so. Then we'll be up to speed in terms of where we're supposed to be in the readings. So we'll go around. Let's start from this side of the room this time. Everybody read seven verses.
Did you say 6:9
through 7:24.
It's fascinating that we read about Noah during the rainiest period of the year.
Do we want to wait for
that? You haven't taught on the first part of 6, right?
No. I may not either.
They changed began to rebel. First line.
That's right.
Began because rebelled.
Right. When men rebel to multiply on the face of the earth. The word began.
We got another one of these guys that pays attention.
He makes notes.
A veritable student. Comparative Bible. Yeah. These were the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. And
now, wait a minute. Remember, this then begins a new family history of one of the 11. We'll see that in a minute. I'll go through each one of them, but go ahead.
Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and
Japheth.
The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me.
He has come before me. Now see, the end of all flesh is now come before me. I mean, you see it not as history, but as what is happening to you now. You understand?
What did he consider Noah to be? Was he saying you're something apart from these people?
He was the only, Noah and his family, by revelation, were the only ones who had not mixed, who the seed had not mixed. That's why they were perfect. The word means genetically still. They were genetically not mixed yet.
So he wasn't corrupted.
He hadn't been corrupted, mixed. Remember the word of. Remember the scripture says in the New Testament, you corrupt. We are not of those that corrupt the word of God. The word corrupt means to add water to the wine for the purposes of commerce. In the Greek, it's now in the Hebrew manifestation. The corrupt here means to mix.
So it has nothing to do with behavior.
No, it's not behavior at all. It's mixing. It's the reason that the only reason that Noah was okay wasn't because he was a sweet guy. In fact, look what happens to him. Yeah. He's going to get
gets drunk.
He's going
to add water to the wine in that case.
Yeah, but what happens is, do you ever think about how it was impossible for Adam to commit adultery?
Lucky Adam.
That's a great one.
You may have looked fondly on some of the furry kingdom.
No, they did that before. He already tried that before he named. That's why he named the names.
That's right.
That's a new one.
But it wouldn't
be adultery.
I don't know. How bizarre. Okay.
And God said unto Noah.
No, wait a minute. Noah and the sons and the daughters, they were the only people left out of, again, probably 250 million. I think that's probably the number of people whose bloodline at that time, because we're talking the natural. This isn't spiritual now. The natural hadn't been corrupted by the mixing.
So why did he get in trouble when he got drunk and he went lay with his daughters?
Well, we'll get to that when we get to that.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's the naughty parts. When we get to the naughty parts, okay?
And you're not skipping ahead.
And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth.
Now again, he's destroying, the idea of destroying isn't, it's the idea of, because he's destroying something that has been corrupted from its initial purpose. You understand that?
Yeah, the age-old question, though, what happened to those souls?
These souls?
The souls of those people.
Okay, well, let's just happen to have an answer. Go to 1 Peter real quick. All right. 1 Peter chapter 3.
He's talking to him in hell. I know.
Verse 17, for it is better if the will of God be so that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened or made alive by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Now, again, spirits in prison, the idea of where we get, where everything prison here is the idea of Hades. This is hell. Okay? He was in the grave for 3 days. One day he was totally at rest. It's the only time the Sabbath was ever kept perfectly. The other 2 days he was preaching to the spirits. We don't know. It's hard for us to visualize. It's hard for us to know what this means. It's hard for us to have an understanding of what it must have been like, what the testing. If he was tested in the flesh, he had to be tested in the spirit in hell. And we have no idea what that was like. Anyway, the like which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God and by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now what that means is, it gives us several answers. Number one, it says that he's preaching to the, he was, is, and will be preaching to the spirits in prison, those who are died. But it also says that salvation, if you hear this, saving, being saved, isn't saved for, it's saved from. The like figure, baptism, does now save. It's, we're saved from the world by baptism. That doesn't mean that's the end, that's the beginning. Now, go back over to 1 Peter 4, and verse 5. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. The point is, that's why we say, we never say who's going to hell or who's going to heaven.
The question this brings up to me is, who's going to stay? If Christ is even maybe now, which is, it's not the same, we're not even talking about the same universe to me, it's like, but he's preaching to the dead, he's doing all these things, and yet he's also here, and he's here, and he's here, and I'm like, yeah. Wait a minute, that's just part of my brain. But the only
Jack off. What happens? Every time you masturbate, 150 million sperm cells come up over your gut, and there's little mats all over the place. He's here, and he's here, and he's here, and he's here. Every one of those has the potential to be you. The answer is in masturbation.
The answer what?
To where you are. Where is he? He's here, and he's there, and he's here, and he's there.
No.
You've done a lifetime of research.
I guess what I'm thinking of is he? Is it the
same guy in everybody in the process of revealing, or is it a new creation? Or
It's a totally new thing.
Okay.
And the new thing is my sister and my bride. Amen. Okay. Back to Genesis.
Make thee an ark of gopher.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you. Back to Genesis.
Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make.
Now let me talk here a minute. A cubit is a royal cubit is what they're using here, and it's not. You'll see all over the scriptures and everything. A few modern Bible scholars say the cubit is 18 inches. That was what was called the common cubit. The royal cubit, which was used only, it's only in three places in all of ancient history. It's in the tabernacle in the wilderness. It's the dimensions of the Ark of the Covenant. No, excuse me. Everything that's in the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, and its associated tabernacle is based on the sacred cubit. Everything that's in the ark here is based on the sacred cubit, and everything that's in the pyramid of Giza, the Great Pyramid, is based on the sacred cubit.
The temple is a different thing.
Huh?
The temple's based on something else.
No, the temple is based on the same as the tabernacle in the wilderness. That's why I was going to say three and then four, but the tabernacle and the temple are really the same thing.
What is that?
25 inches.
Whoa. What is that confounded?
Now, that's where we get. That's another story. I won't go into that. Okay.
A window shalt thou make to the ark, and then a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set inside thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make.
And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come unto the ark, and thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing and of all flesh, two of every sort shall thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come unto thee, to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he.
The Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house to the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood.
What is a clean beast?
Levitically clean by the law that were able to be used in a sacrifice.
Oh, okay.
Of clean beasts and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. The rain was upon the earth 48 days and 40 nights. In the self same day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of the feathers.
They went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the water increased, and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters prevailed, and were increased greatly upon the earth. And the ark went up upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle, and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man.
Go ahead and finish.
All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowls of heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days.
Let's do the readings from the prophets for these periods, and then we'll try to go back and start the study. We need to read Isaiah 30. Now again, these readings and what we're doing, these were the same readings as best we can determine that were read at the time of Christ. And so this is what Christ did with his disciples. Except they sat around 24 hours a day and talked about it for 3 years. I wished we could, huh?
That's why they had time to get through it.
Yeah. Don't start, Rick. Okay. Isaiah 30. No. The readings in the prophets, there's an interesting rule. When you read from the Torah, each person has to read at least 7 verses, right? When you read from the Haftorah, or from the prophets, you have to read at least 21 verses. Now that's why when Christ only read 3 or 4 verses and sat down and said, now have these been fulfilled, that they got so mad at him. And it was a big, big deal. And I say, but it was also said, now are these fulfilled in your ears, in your seeing.
It's like you never have to read it again.
Yeah. So what we will do, the reading per se for this period from the Haftarah is only, it's Isaiah 30, verse 8 to 15, or actually verse 9 to 16, I'm sorry. Time out. I'm looking at the wrong place. Forget what I just said. Isaiah 30, verse 8 to 15. But we're going to read the whole thing of Isaiah 30, from Isaiah 30 through 21. So we do the 21 verse rule. Will you read the 21 verses? Now, the reason that the prophets, if you study this section of scripture in the Talmud. The reason this section of scripture is with Genesis 1, that talks about the flood, is because this is this whole section of scripture is about going down to Egypt, or depending on Egypt for sustenance, for anything, depending on the world for anything. And what the rabbis say is the world is under the flood. All that's left is what's living in the ark. The ark is Christ, now that we know. They say the ark was Israel. Understand? So we say the ark is Christ. So how do you go down to Egypt? What's the evidence that you've gone down to Egypt? Let's read it, see if we can get an hint.
That you move from 7 to 6.
But what does that mean? It's natural.
Out of the rest, it means you get twisted, torqued, start doing, figuring stuff out.
Yeah. The moment, the
doing it on your own strength.
Right. The moment you, you, it's called. How do you know you've gone into Egypt? You become huffy. You become nervous. There's something other than being at rest. That's how you know how you've gone to Egypt. How do you know if you've gone to Babylon? Because you, it's cause and effect, calculating. So.
Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and they cover with a covering but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be a help nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. The burden of the beasts of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and the old lion, the viper and the fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses and their treasures upon the bunches of camels to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever.
Okay, now, starting in verse 8 is the actual reading. So from 8 to 15 is the thing that you're supposed to concentrate your energies on in the reading, okay?
Now go, write it before them in a table, and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come, forever and ever, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Wherefore thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word, and trust in oppression and perverseness, and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach, ready to fall.
Let's stop a minute. You remember when we studied before what it means to trust in oppression? To trust in oppression means to trust in your ability to manipulate.
That's cause and effect, though.
You tend to bring what you think is your glory, isn't it?
No, oppression has to be by definition. You have to oppress someone. Mm-hmm. It's to oppress somebody else.
Don't you also trust into oppression by trusting you will be oppressed in certain situations?
Well, yeah, but that's not really what he's talking about here. He's talking about the idea that the evilness of Egypt or the world is because of its merchants, because of its, if you will, salesmen. There's nothing more evil or perverse spiritually than salesmen, because they trust only, and that's what, if you look a great deal like the Zig Ziglar school of theology, is to trust in oppression.
I'm promoting the gospel, selling the gospel.
Yeah, it's just pure evil. A trust in oppression and perverseness. And stay or anchor themselves therein. Okay. Go ahead.
Why is salesmanship?
Because it's the art of manipulating.
You attempt to convince.
Right. It's manipulating. It's manipulating.
Present something a certain way
as opposed
so that
to
you'll buy it.
Prophesy.
That's why they say
the reason I'm asking is when we were talking about when I was talking to you about passing the thing and you were saying that's what I was afraid of. I was afraid you would make it into a salesmanship thing, a sales piece.
Trying to sell. what we have. That's to trust in oppression. I mean,
but you can still be a. Burnett's going to be listening to this, and I'm sitting here. Burnett's going to just die.
Burnett's going to fry.
Burnett's going to fry in hell.
Yeah, that's right. No.
No, no flesh can, no flesh. I mean, Burnett has to see that his, I mean, he's, that his selling is sin. It's to trust in oppression.
But it isn't to the end that he will circumcise his flesh and think that by quitting this job and doing something else that he can somehow...
Yeah.
No, that is the end of it. It's the law has one purpose, and that is to shut your mouth and convict you.
The further you go, virtually everything is sin.
Yeah.
Virtually everything is sales when you get to it on the worldly level.
Well, absolutely. Business.
Well, that's why the world, that's why it's remember, this is about going down into Egypt.
Which is where
the merchants.
Merchandise of your souls.
Yeah, I like the way you do that.
Okay.
We did.
Hi, Burnett.
It's you know, so weird that I did Levi's. I've been thinking about Morris and Steve.
Is the word.
He's the end of being Levi. Just the idea of the people that really have no regular contact with the world. It's mind-blowing.
And have no... the Levites, they have absolutely no talent in oppression.
People that shall not profit.
And most Levites can't make it in the world. That's
what do you mean most? All, by all definition.
Well, I look at Steve and
Steve cannot make it in the world.
Steve can't make it in the world. And I've lived with him for 2 years.
Steve can't make it.
And he gets frustrated and he just can't make it. And it's perfect that he's Levite because he'll never make it in the world.
He doesn't want to make it.
Yeah, and there's a home for people like that.
It's called the home.
Yeah, but even more so, but hear me. They are, the people like that, the people like us, are the fortunate ones.
Blessed, because I can look, Levites and
it's a living picture of the aspect of a people that has no, just as the Levites after the flesh, they had no inheritance in the land. So we have, we Levites after the Spirit, we Levites here have no inheritance in this land. We have no future, we have no, we have no security. We have no retirement plan. We have no. We have no benefits. I mean, if Levites. I mean, you know, to stop and think that somebody would want to be a Levite is obscene. I mean, can you imagine anybody worse to work for than me?
No.
That's an easy question.
I think.
But by the same token, a lot of people want to be a Levite. Why?
I think you're born a Levite. I think.
You are.
I mean, I feel more like a Levite than anything else because when I stop and examine it, there's nothing I can do. I mean,
I know. You're just a Levite that happens to have, you know.
Yeah, I just fell in the crack, in the right crack in the world. I mean, because I can't. I mean, if I tried to do anything other than what I do, I couldn't do it. I'd just be, I'd have to.
Well, the Levites are just the living picture to the body of Christ of what it means for all of us, for everybody in the body of Christ.
Yeah. It's easy to kind of elevate yourself and say, well, I can make it the world.
And the reason they haven't, if you look, the Levite, there haven't been any Levites for 2,000 years or more. No, but I mean, I'm serious. If you read Ezekiel, you'll see that at the latter time, at the end, the Levites are brought back into the picture.
I think they shall have yeah,
I agree. Always like that. Sure. I agree.
They can truly be
great.
Yeah. Hang around in airports and hand out flowers.
I agree. Yeah, make them wear yellow.
That's really what that looks like.
That's just another way of. That's just another type of oppression. Harry.
Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out at a high wall, and breaking from it suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it. Assured to take fire from the hearth or to take water withal out of the pit. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, and you would not.
Okay.
But
that's it. No, go ahead and read 21. I'm sorry.
But you said no, for we will flee upon horses.
Now, what are horses?
Strength.
Horses were. Hear me. In ancient Israel, at the time when Israel was ripe before God, horses were illegal. Horses were illegal in Israel. Because they represent, there had to be a time in the history when they saw what the type was. And the type is the strengths.
Even in civilization, once men got on horses, I mean, they just went like this, you know, as far as power or ability to conquer or fight wars or all that kind of stuff.
To stay onto horses is to trust your strength.
Have you seen that Etruscan horse downtown, the big bronze Etruscan horse?
Yeah.
What?
Good.
That statue, it's beautiful.
That's right, I have to go by there, Tom, go see Tyrone.
You know what it symbolizes, there's no question about
where?
Power.
Got melons on him like that.
Yes, yes.
Terry Reed.
But you said no.
No.
I mean, I cannot believe.
No.
Nobody.
No.
What?
What?
Oh, Harry. No. Harry's too hard. He's too much to believe.
For we will flee upon horses, therefore shall you flee. And we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, at the rebuke of five shall you flee, till you be left as a beacon atop upon the top of a mountain and as an ensign on a hill.
It means isolated, left alone. It means your worst fear will have come upon you. You will be alone.
Because you're
because you've trusted. Huh?
Because you're on a high place.
Yeah, and you've trusted all of your horses, all of the strengths are in your high places, in your mind.
And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you.
Okay, the reason is, now he's waiting. All of your horses, all of your strengths are gone, and you're waiting, still isolated, on your high places, as an ensign or as a signal. Now he's waiting for you to come to the end of that.
How did they go around and tear down all the high places, though? And the Lord kept that against them.
We will. They have you ever heard of falling on your own sword?
That's right. Where do we start?
Camping trip.
It's like Humpty Dumpty.
Go on a little camping trip.
All the king's horses and all the king's men.
No, but this is so wild that you would read this.
You'll experience that question.
At the same time, you're reading the thing about the flood, because what
it's
would
the same
it,
thing.
A person would run to the highest place they could find and sit there, and when the waters of judgment finally come up far enough, you're dead, and God will have mercy on you.
That's right.
That's pretty cool.
We like that.
For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion.
Now stop a minute. Remember from God's standpoint, God didn't give a crap whether you talk about love. Oh Lord God, we, you know, anyone you hear talks that's talking about his love for God, it's a sure sign he expects to be paid for.
Oh Lord, we just come to you tonight asking for that down payment.
I praise your holy name.
No, I mean, that's the truth. I mean, and they make it sound so righteous. Lord, we just love you tonight, Lord.
Please.
But in there, every time they say that, it's like they've got a bellows that's pumping up a balloon. They're getting bigger. They're getting more and more and more and more and more and more righteous. God's going to pop them, just like a zit.
For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more.
Again, they might as well say, Zion, it means the dry. Zion is the dry or parched place in Hebrew. That's what the word means. The spiritual Zion can only exist, spiritual Jerusalem can only exist where the place is dry, where there is no form nor comeliness, when there is no beauty that men should desire him. That's where the spiritual Jerusalem, the real Jerusalem, exists. The new Jerusalem exists when the senses say, this can't be it. And all this crap about these little Khazars that are over in the Middle East now learning how to water their plants, that's just ludicrous. Compared to what?
What I mean, are you talking about?
All the, in Israel, they're saying this is the they're making the Zion bud. Well, they're not making Zion bud.
Putting up trailers in Palestine.
Is that why? That's why suffering is so strange.
For a tornado to come through.
Suffering is so strange because you want everything beautiful.
First thing you want to do is destroy Zion.
What could it mean?
You want to make it neat.
Well, it look like Babylon is what you want.
You want Zion,
Gardens of Babylon.
You want Zion to look like Babylon, exactly.
Zion looks like the front of your apartment.
For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk you in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left.
Amen. Now, that's why we must be a people that glory in tribulation. Anybody can glory when things are going right.
Yeah, that sounds like a...
You know, I read this years ago, and I thought it would be great if someday my eyes could see my teachers. But now they do, and it ain't so great. Because my teachers are people like Brian T, Brian K.
Pete.
Pete.
This reminds me of that verse. It's like the same verse. You know, what is it to love somebody who loves you? Yeah.
Yeah. What does it mean to be good, to do good to somebody that does good to you back? Gentiles do that.
Gentiles
do that.
What does it mean to, you know?
Salute you, brother.
Genesis. In this thing about the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. The word sons of God, the phrase only occurs five times in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And it's indicative of some type of angelic or spiritual being. You can go to Job or here, but it's, as we talked about before, and we'll get into it in more detail, it's what I believe was the remnant of the age of Lucifer. And just as at the beginning, when a building is being constructed, that things are obvious. I mean, there's big pillars being built, or big, so then the skin between the plan was more obvious. The good and evil were right there in your face. The distance or the skin between spirit and soul was obvious, and it was thin. So there was a passing back between spirit from the age of these beings that had eaten both of the tree of knowledge and of the tree of life and had been spiritualized. That meant they were locked in this barrier, this gulf that's talked about in Luke 16, this grand gulf that you can't get across. Well, at that time, you could get across it.
Space, but not time.
It's space, but not time. And so, these beings, they knew they were goners. They were dead meat because they saw enough of the end that they saw Christ. And they knew that Satan had fallen because he would not worship that little crying baby or that mewing half-dead man on the cross. They knew that they were dead, and they had to reproduce. They had to have some idea of the same thing in you, that you need a component of forever, or so they tried everything they could, and their last attempt was to try to mate with the daughters of men. To try to become...
Did God know that?
Sure.
So they in effect took on flesh.
They took on flesh. And they mated. But they mated for the purpose of continuing their race. They wanted to live forever. And now, they knew that they couldn't now. They knew that when the bride had served its purpose, when in Revelation 10, when the mystery of God was completed, time would be no more. When time was no more, they would be no more. Hell would be no more. You know, hell, when it talks about forever, that means only as long as time lasts. We're not interested in forever. We want eternity. You understand the difference?
Yeah.
Forever is just as long as there's time. Eternity is no time at all. We want to be, and we are, the place that there is no time. All these people want to live forever. I want to live forever. Well, they'll live forever.
Yeah, I heard this song today called "What's Forever For."
Yeah. It's what's forever for is for this is for self-realization.
Something to do till it's over.
Something to do is to hang around till it's over. Do you understand?
Yeah. Now, two things. Son of God, why are they called sons?
Sons, plural.
I know, but why are they called sons of God?
Because they were created of God. They were created by God.
In the line of Lucifer.
Right.
Right. And then you're saying forever's over, the people that are in hell are gone.
It's as though they never existed.
Right, okay.
The only one that, the only, you know, when they talk about hell as being forever, you're going to fire and brimstone and all that kind of shit, that's just the dump of the New Jerusalem. When time is served its purpose, then time is going to be no more. And all that stuff that isn't in eternity is gone, as though it never existed. All right. Adam had corrupted his way upon the earth as all other men had. God at this point gave Adam 120 more years from this prophecy to repent. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is flesh." There was a definite article. It means the man. God only sees. There's only been two men in history: Adam and Christ.
Where are we?
Genesis 6, verse 3.
To repent. I was in this pure line thing. Now you're talking a behavioral thing or spiritual thing, right?
With what? With regard
Adam,
to...
Adam committed the sin, right?
Right. But Adam had the possibility, the sin offering was always lying at the door for all of man, all of Adam. The sin offering, the lamb had been slain from before the foundation of the world. It was always there. The repentance meant simply that it was a turning, that he turned from himself totally.
He saw that it was there.
But it wasn't ever behavioral. That's the thing that has to be seen. Babylon will always try to make it behavioral, but they'll only make it enough behavioral that they can behave.
Yeah. Yeah. Christ is your father, the devil. That's
right. If they don't have any gonads, then they make sex the issue. If they don't have any ambition, then they make pride the issue. But they always make it so that they can do it. God's going to be really pissed because God made the law to shut up all men's mouths. They take that law and take pieces of it and think they can do it. And it's real. I mean, and this is universal in all these churches and all these places.
They shut up other people's mouths.
And you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that and you behave this way and you behave that way. And you come to church dressed in a certain way and you live in these certain, and you sit in these certain pews that are in a line. And you all become this and you can't do this and you can't do that. It's just pure horseshit. And you can't say horseshit.
That's the biggest.
Of course, because that one's easy. See, they can get righteousness from language.
Thoughts, that's where they void.
The thought, yeah. But when you say, I mean, the purpose of the law is to shut up your mouth. But just as when Paul did it, Paul said, they accused Paul of license. They'll accuse us of license. They'll come in here to spy out our liberty.
Yeah.
get all bent out of shape because I say, fuck. That was for you, Burnett.
Bite me, Burnett. Bite me.
Any friends you might have brought over?
Yeah, I hope he doesn't decide to play it on the stereo
for his kids.
That's right, yeah. Come on, kids, we're gonna.
Honey, you've never been. Let me play this for you.
This thing about Adam repenting is that he gave 120 years. If Adam had repented, this connection would be over.
And if Adam had repented, we wouldn't have been here.
But when Christ said, you're of your father, the devil, why didn't he say, you're of your father, at all?
Because it's the same thing.
Same thing.
I don't see that. It was like, you sinned.
Bang. And the fact that he didn't repent is the proof of that.
Right.
He didn't repent even whenever.
Same as the other guy.
The apple, because he pointed at heaven.
He justified himself.
The one by himself.
Okay. Justified himself. The opposite of repenting is justified.
So he went to the grave doing it.
Yeah.
Still doing it.
Wasn't my fault.
That's like, and again, that's like the rich young ruler.
What could it mean?
the young man, the rich young ruler. That
when parable of someone we know.
Well, that said, you know, I've done all these things, and I mean, yeah, right, he's done all these things. But anyway, sure. Christ said, "Well, go sell all you have and come follow me, and give it to the poor." And you know. He said he couldn't do it because he had too much. Well, as I told you before, I've gone through and if we had 2 days, I could show you by the scriptures how that was Lazarus. And so Lazarus finally he ended up giving away or selling all he had because he died. And under law, once he had died, all of his goods had to go to somebody. You understand? There was all kinds of legal questions in the law.
What a trick!
When he died. And he was dead for those 4 days. If he was only dead for 3 days, the law would have said he wasn't really dead.
Yeah, that's correct.
But he died for 4 days.
That
means despite the spirit left and the angel of death had let the drops fall. That meant then all of his goods were no longer his by law. By the law. I mean, so he had lost all he had. He sold all he had by death.
Right, which is the old story. You're going to sell all you have now, or you're going to sell all you have later.
Right. Yeah. But, so then he came and followed him, and he became, and again, Lazarus, as I can show you, was a relative of Christ, but that's another story.
Isn't that where modern Christianity gets the idea of charity, of giving what you have there, or... Mm-hmm.
Well,
when he said that, he actually knew what he was saying, that you have to die, that you, I mean, when you die, all that, you have to give all that away.
Right. See, right. And you...
Even though he heard she like physically give everything away, Jesus knew that he was saying...
You're going to die.
Yeah.
He was preaching the cross to him,
yeah.
Even as he was that. Because, can you imagine, we can't think about it because we don't have the capacity, but... Can you imagine what would happen to your value systems? And because part of your possessions are your thoughts and your ideas and your opinions. Can you imagine what would happen to your value systems after 4 days being dead?
History.
I mean, he literally sold all he had. He got rid of everything, possessions and material goods.
Now, Christ was in the grave 3 days. He was in the grave four days.
Now, what happened to me, for those of you know,
yeah, that's what I was just thinking about you.
Yeah, what happened to me the first time was when I said I had lost everything. I lost, you know, as most of you know, I lost $5.5 million in 1 week.
It was a bad week.
It was a bad week.
And if he ever finds it, we're going to have a party.
Yeah. But it was, I mean, it wasn't real money. It wasn't real. I mean, it was paper money. You know, I mean, it was just stupid world. It was, I mean, I had a lot of goods and stuff, but when I said, God, I want what you want, I don't care what it costs me. That's when I left time, and I mean, I really meant it with everything in me, and I didn't care about my philosophies anymore or anything. And a few months before that, I'd sort of said maybe God's a possibility, and so, but then I was thinking about being a Christian governor. I was thinking about that. You know, and then maybe a Christian politician and make it be a good thing. Just think how many voters are out there, you know.
Makes sense to me.
To me, the real story of this of Lazarus is you never have to make a decision.
Yeah, he never have to make a decision.
You know, it's like not like, well, I'm going to give this all up for God. It was like, boom.
Right.
You're going to give it up for God.
But see what modern religion would do. First of all, the priest would be greedy, and they'd say, well, just give a little bit of it. And then we can use you as a trophy.
You know, isn't the other
part? Well, that reminds me. I'll tell a story in Burnett. Burnett originally called me because he wanted to give some money to us.
Yeah, I remember that. You saying that?
I said, I don't know. We don't want your money. God doesn't care about your money. He wants your life.
Yow.
So anyway.
One time when you talked about this story, you said it's interesting to note they called for Jesus before Lazarus was dead, and he sat around and went, "Yeah, I'm not going to go."
He waited.
He waited until he died.
And not only died, he waited until he had been dead 4 days. I mean, it was a thing.
And his sister was like really hot.
Why 4 days?
And said, "It's your fault. He died."
It's in the Talmud, which is the oral law in the Mishnah. That's the requirement.
Mishnah. Have everything all.
The body had to start rotting. Otherwise, it could be just in a coma.
But he let him die.
He let him die.
That's a big
get all sticky. But why did he weep?
Huh?
Why did he weep?
Well, because he was, as son of man, he wept. As son of God, he raised him from the dead.
Human.
You know.
Because it didn't have to happen except for the hardness of Lazarus.
No, again, stop a minute and think. That's right, what I'm saying. As son of man, he wept. As son of God, he raised him from the dead. But again, hear me. Every moment that Christ was tested, he said something that we should be saying at every moment we're at a question. He said, Father, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Deliver me from this hour? No, for this hour came I unto the earth. Now, every time you're troubled, as son of man, he said, he admitted it, he cried, he said, he prophesied, Father, my soul is troubled. So he, as son of man, he admitted he was weakness of the flesh. But then as son of God, he said, no, for this hour came I unto the earth. And the same thing is true in you. Every time you're tempted with trouble, I mean, I've had to go through that 100 times with regard to this pain. I mean, sometimes the pain, and in fact, it was just a couple days ago, it was so bad I couldn't think. I could think enough. I finally got enough to get to that point. You know, my soul is sorely troubled. I hurt like a son of a bitch. Deliver me? Yeah. Deliver me. I'll sell Harry out. I'll sell all these people out. Just deliver me. And then, you know, no, for this hour came I into the earth, and I could rest in it.
I can hear that in this. Lazarus being dear to him, and knowing I've got to let this guy die.
That's right, that Lazarus was his friend.
He was already dead 4 days at that
point. They came to him when he was just sick.
Mary
and Martha came to him when he was sick.
But he cried when he was at the gathering, going to get him, raising him from the dead.
Yeah, but where, he's a long way. We're exactly where he was. He's up by Jericho.
I thought he was with the party.
No. Promise you.
We're going to do some research on that.
Well, that's John.
I don't want to disrupt it. Just
that's John me. Chapter... Yeah, 10, I think. Chapter 11.
You don't have to try.
The shortest, yeah.
Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha.
Yeah, right, you are. Okay.
Okay. By the way, there's not three different Marys in this. Mary, this Mary is the same Mary of Magdala. Mary Magdalene. Mary, this Mary is the Mary the hooker.
But this hour,
can I?
It's John 12:27.
Might have police academy.
John 12:27
Yeah. Dear. It's not in the garden. It's when the hour's come that the Son of Man must be glorified. Verily I say unto you, except a kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die. And then it says, Father, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. And there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again.
Cool.
Now, when he hung on the cross, he was totally man, right? When he took sin upon himself, God couldn't even look at him.
Right.
You know, it blew me away when you said that flesh couldn't be forgiven. I didn't know that.
Flesh can't be forgiven. If the flesh could be forgiven, then Christ would not have had to die. He would have been successful. Flesh can't be forgiven because he had to die.
Who's forgiven then? Hmm? We're forgiven.
Well, we forgive. What happens when you forgive is you see in a different sense. You don't forgive like anybody else in the universe forgives. When you forgive, you appreciate. Mm.
Well, we are.
You see that, huh? Christ in us, we are forgiven because we are now, forgiveness is automatic as a part of the bride.
We read earlier, returning and turning, and shub and rest.
But you see, that's why we are unique of all the people, because the forgiveness here says that you have to see all those people, your father, whatever it is that beat you up, whatever happened to you in your whole life. You have to see them with the eyes, not of just sort of tolerating them and forgetting about them. You have to see them as that you appreciate them for what they did, for had they not done it, you could not have reached this point. Now what that says then, it puts a whole new light to what forgiveness really means.
Yeah.
You can't possibly resent somebody. It can be a whole different thing. There's no, you can appreciate it. That's enough. I don't feel like talking anymore. We'll do the giants. Now there were giants in the earth in those days. Again, remember now, the thing that was going on is always the Satan from the beginning. I mean, everything is known by Genesis. Genesis 3 is the anchor chapter of what's going on. That the seed of Satan was trying to corrupt the seed of the woman. The woman can't have a seed. So it had to be the mystery. That's where the virgin birth was first came into being. So everything that's going on now, it's all at the same time, really. It's trying to corrupt it's trying to corrupt that thing. It's not a moral, it's not a passion play or a morality play. I mean, that's ludicrous. If that were case, you couldn't possibly have, in the whole off time after time after time, wiping out every man, woman, and child. I mean,
what does that word mean, by the way? I've heard that in my whole life. What? Passion play.
Well, passion
plays,
is.
But Christ's passion.
But Christ's passion was his death.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
But it's much more. I mean, it's this thing of, it's this process of God protecting this one seed. As the promises of God go not to the seeds as of many, but to the one seed, which is Christ. Again, can you see? I mean, the human race, literally, now, is just a sperm cell. I mean, it literally is, to contain the germ of Christ. There's no... The idea of God loving you is ludicrous. I mean, if God loves you as a human being, talk to me. Go tell that. Go test your theology tonight in Ethiopia or in the Kurds.
Go down the street to the burn unit in Baylor.
Or go to the burn unit. Test that theology. If this is a loving, all-powerful God and he's permitting this to somebody he loves, their idiotic religion is just one of Babylon. It's trying to make it nice. Well, Satan is... And then you talk about, well, how that, well, Satan, well, then is Satan more powerful than God? Their belief he is.
Yeah.
You understand?
Oh, what's the manifestation of that? That they go out
But no, that they, yeah, they, but that Satan has caused all those deaths and all that bad stuff. Satan has caused all these drugs and all this stuff to go on about people that say that God loves you, but Satan has done that to you.
Yeah. So I'm so glad you said that. Because that crystallizes a lot.
Well,
I'm really thinking about this. Christ letting Lazarus die. And it's the same thing as when he was taken up on the mountain and saw all the time and said, no, I will not do anything to change that.
Amen. When Christ, you know, in the temptation of Christ, when it says Satan took him up in a moment of time to a high mountain and showed him the king, it's in the, it doesn't translate it, but it says he took him up into a high mountain and he showed him all of time and all of the kingdoms of the world, past, present, and future. And he said, and saw everything, saw the mess and the mass and this and that. And he said, and I'm not going to change this thing because it's all perfect in my Father's plan. And he was all powerful. He could have done everything.
I always wondered about that. I always, it always makes me told me that it took him up there to show all these gorgeous, wonderful things.
What he showed him was a little girl dying of cancer.
And he showed him all of the evil and the stuff that
he able.
You can change this by worshiping. Do you understand? You can change this.
Doesn't have to happen.
I can save you from this pain. I can save that little girl from cancer. I can save that craniofacial deformity that's, that, you know.
It didn't make sense to me. I mean, why this wonderful, gorgeous...
Oh, that's just idiots. Don't listen to idiots. Please don't. Don't listen to idiots.
That wouldn't be any temptation at all.
Don't listen to idiots ever again.
Yeah.
Plus, I grew up with, you know, I mean, I...
But you knew it wasn't true when you heard it.
Yep. So there,
well, but you don't have to listen to those idiots. Those counselors, those board of elders are still sitting back here in your minds. Just fire them.
Show them the door.
No longer have to be a good communist.
Hit the road.
What?
Wait, you look like you have a question.
I do. I can't get it right.
He's free.
Just a minute. Join.
It's about God loving you.
Yeah, it is. That's about when it happened. That's the hard part, is asking one question.
Your face is changing. Yes,
are
you gonna see it?
Metaphor.
No, it's the blood is starting to.
I know.
I know.
Yeah, I'm gonna chew on that one.
You got the same, Burnett.
Yeah, but think about it.
Yeah.
If just think about it by the logic or any way you want to think about it. If God loves the human race. What's going on?
Yeah.
What has to be going on is there's a good and evil battle, allegedly. All that came entered into the Hebrew in Persia. This duality of good and evil. It's just ludicrous. There's God. Yeah, God's permitting it so that. Well, if He's permitting, then He's cruel, and he and I don't want any part of that kind of God. I don't want any part of their idiot God.
Okay. Then what is the work of Satan in the world?
Huh?
What is the work
to oppose?
Okay, what's he doing?
He's opposing. He's the acid that's being poured on the gold that gold might...
He's a tool.
He's destroying, he's beating you about the head and shoulders.
All right, then where did your injury come from?
From God.
He caused that to happen. What's the work of Satan in that?
God used him. God used him. To try to get me to do anything in my power to deny God, to move away, to trust in my own arm of understanding.
No, it's the same thing. God permitted it to happen as the way that
He did it.
God is having a war with Satan, and he's fighting with Satan. It, this way, it's like with
Satan is just,
Job. He said, try him.
Well, I was just going
to
say,
turn
Job.
It over to you.
Yeah, turn it over. I permit you to do
what
you want.
No, but it's not
war.
Permitted. It's different. It's determined.
No
here,
I command you.
I command you.
This is different than Job.
Satan is saying, God is saying to Satan, I command you to do this.
Satan,
not I permit you to do
this. Probably better.